Welcome to Basic Gospel, everybody. With Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis. This program is live on the air right now. We're here every day to discuss any personal issue or situation you may find yourself in and to answer your Bible questions. This is where the truth of Scripture meets your daily life. What's going on in your life right now? We want to talk with you about it. The phone lines are open at 1-800-677-9377. I hope you'll write down the number. Keep it handy. That's 1-800-677-9377. A toll-free call right now. This is Basic Gospel. Hear it, believe it, live it. 1-800-677-9377. Call now. Now here's Richard Piper.
Thanks, Bob. Paul tells us in Galatians 5:1, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. We're celebrating freedom all month, the whole month of July, and we picked it on purpose because, of course, here in the United States, we get to celebrate our own freedom, our own independence, this coming Thursday, just a couple of days. And as great as our country is, I mean, what a privilege to be able to live here and to share with each other in the incredible bounty that this country has provided us. I mean, you realize that in most cases, the poorest of us in this country live better than many middle-class people in other countries.
Right.
We have more space, more food, more entertainment. It's just an amazing blessing to live here. But the real issue is not freedom in your country, because there are a lot of people who live in countries who are not free, and yet they personally are free.
Yeah.
They're free because they are free in Christ. That's what we're talking about. I can't do anything personally about the freedom in my country, more or less, right? I can vote, I can talk, I can do all the things, but I can do something about freedom in Christ by accepting him as my life.
Yeah.
And when you have accepted Jesus as your life, you get to discover what real freedom is. And that's the kind of freedom that applies if you're having a tough time in your marriage or with your kids or in retirement or on the job or wherever it is. Jesus Christ speaks to that issue. And we'd love to share with you on that. Call us up, Bible questions, relationship issues, and we just love to talk.
Without question. This is Basic Gospel. Bob Davis with Richard Piper on today's broadcast. And we're here every day at this time live to answer your questions. So we encourage your call right now to 1-800-677-9377. That's toll-free across the U.S. and in Canada, 1-800-677-9377. Vacaville, California. Let's talk to Sophia, listening on KCBC. Hi, Sophia. Welcome to Basic Gospel.
Hi.
Hi there.
How can we help you?
Yeah, I am in this relationship right now, and I know it's not right because he's going through a divorce.
Okay.
And if I were to die right now, would God be upset with me? Would I go to heaven?
Well, are you a child of God? Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior?
Yes.
Then you know what salvation is?
Yes. Okay. I love God.
Yeah.
I love Jesus.
If you are a child of God, then I will guarantee you that if you died today, you would die a forgiven person. Now, you ask if God would be upset with you when you die.
Yeah.
If God's upset with you at all, it's while you're alive, because he sees you making choices that aren't doing you or anyone else any good. You need to be out of this relationship. If the guy you're with is still married and going through a divorce, you need to stay away from that situation like it was fire, because you're hurting yourself, you're hurting him, and together you're hurting his family and each other. If this relationship is going to have any hope of being a good relationship, then it has to be done in the context of biblical relationships. If there's no saving his marriage, then let that divorce happen. Let him heal. Let yourself heal. And over time, if it looks like there might be a biblically based relationship possible, you can enter into that. But to be involved with someone now who is married is, of course, not biblical. It is a sin. It's a sin for which you are forgiven, but it's a sin for which you will have temporal, in this world, pain and agony over. And you've probably already experienced some of that. I mean, what kind of trust is there, right? Because if you're dealing with someone who's getting a divorce and he's with you and he's, you know, it's just not right. Is he a believer?
He says he is.
He says he is, but you don't know. So,
yes.
So what I would suggest very, very strongly is to back away from the relationship. Stay away from each other and let things work themselves out over time. And before you know, don't wait 3 months and say, okay, it's been 3 months. Wait until the Holy Spirit says, Sophia, now's the time. And the Holy Spirit may not ever say that in this context with this person. You just need to, and if it does start up again, you know, down the road, the number one question is if the two of you are in Christ and believe the same thing. If there's any pressure down the road for a physical relationship rather than just getting to know each other and working through whatever needs to be worked through, then, again, I would run away. Sex is an 800-pound gorilla in relationships. It's the very last thing that should be entered into, not the first thing. The first thing that should be entered into is an absolute assurance of who you are in Jesus Christ, so that you know that your need for unconditional love and forgiveness and acceptance and all of that has been met in Jesus, because you can't give it to a husband and a husband can't give it to you. So you both have to know who you are in Christ before you can begin to relate to each other spiritually, then soulishly, and then physically. Let the physical be the last thing. Otherwise, it'll drive the relationship, and you can't ever develop the kind of trust and friendship and everything else that you need because you've got this 800-pound gorilla on your back. And so back away from the relationship. Let God restore you. Renew your mind and make sure that you know that you are a forgiven person and you are still His. And rejoice in the fact that rather than slapping you down and beating you with a 2x4, the Spirit says, come on, Sophia, you know better than this. Let's talk. Let me renew your mind. Let me make your relationship with me stronger so that you can have a proper relationship with a man later on.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, you're very welcome.
Thank you, Sophia. Thanks for calling. Hope you'll keep listening and call again if you have a different question at a different time. Indianapolis, let's talk to Bill, sitting on WBRI. Bill, welcome to Basic Gospel.
How you doing?
Doing fine, thank you.
Great, thanks.
Oh, it's not as hot as it is up here as it is down there, is what I've heard.
Well, we've actually had a cold spell for Texas. We're in the upper 80s today.
In July, of all things.
Death Valley in California, 130 or something.
Yes, yes. Well, they call it Death Valley for a reason.
My question is about predestination. I know that's a big subject, and you can barely talk about it. But, I mean, because it's such a deep subject, you can't say too much about it in a short time. But these people have a choice. They do have a choice. And we got people in the Indianapolis area it's teaching people that there's no choice. You're either going to hell or you're going to heaven, and that's it, and slam the door.
Yeah.
So I'd like to know. And I'm driving, so I'll hang up and listen to your answer.
Well, thanks, Bill. Thanks for calling. It's a great question. Yeah, the issue of predestination is unnecessarily confusing. The fact is, predestination exists in the Bible. Out of all of the people in the whole world God could have chosen or asked to follow Him, He picked Abraham. Abraham wasn't anybody special, but God came and picked him and said, "Will you follow me? If you will, I will make of you a great nation, and all of the world will be blessed through you." So, because God predestined Abraham and said, I want you to be mine, then the entire world was predestined to be blessed through the seed of Abraham. That says the entire world. It doesn't say just the saved. You know, if God picked me to be saved and Bob Davis to be lost, or vice versa, what kind of God is that? It's not a God worth worshiping, I'll tell you that. The other piece of predestination that is in the Bible is that given Abraham's seed, that is the children of Israel, and finally coming up to Jesus Christ, it was predestined that both Jews and Gentiles, that is, all people who were not Jews, would be saved the same way, through grace, or by grace, through faith in Jesus Christ. That is an amazing statement. That is one of those things that makes you fall on your face before God, that all of us, Jew and Gentile alike, if we will accept Jesus Christ, can be saved. It was predestined that Jesus is the only way we can be saved. It was predestined that only Jesus could die for all sin, could be raised to bring eternal life. This is all about God working with himself in order to rescue us. We didn't deserve to be rescued. We deserved to be squashed like bugs. But instead, God said, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to rescue those people. I'm going to make it possible for them to be saved if they'll accept me. And that's the extent of it. It's not about God loves some people and hates others. It's not about God, you know, forgives some sins, but he doesn't forgive others. If you belong to Jesus, you are a forgiven person. If you don't belong to Jesus, forgiveness is available, but completely meaningless to you because it's only found in him. So focus on Jesus. Don't focus on my words or anybody else's words or any denomination's words. Focus on Jesus and let him change your life.
Bill, hope that's been a help to you. Sometimes a perplexing question that many people really, really struggle with. And Richard, thank you for that wonderful answer. Plenty of open lines, friends. This is Basic Gospel, 1-800-677-9377. Time on the clock and space for you. If you've got something you'd like to discuss, we want to hear from you. 1-800-677-9377, San Jose, California. Let's talk to Mark, listening on KCBC. Hi, Mark. Welcome to Basic Gospel.
Oh, thank you, sir. You know, before I ask my question, let's pray hard for Brother Snowden, because Obama wants him tried when the guy's a hero, and he did the right thing, and he's a good man. But my question, Infowars.com for more information. But my question is in regards to the times of the Gentiles. Brother, do you believe that this is a true doctrine? The Baptists there in Florida, some Baptists believe that there will be a period of time called the times of the Gentiles, and all of the so-called Jehovah's Witnesses that, you know, from the destruction of the Gentiles, I mean, the temple, rather,
yes,
by the Gentiles, you know, you've got 2,520 years. What's your opinion in regards to the 2,520 years, and I'll catch you on the air.
Okay. There is a time of Gentiles, but I think we make too much of it. Yes, when the Jews rejected Jesus and when Judaism was crushed in AD 70 and then finally again, I think it was in 125, it became illegal to be a Jew. Well, the Gentiles had received the gospel, and it was God's intent that the gospel would spread through the whole world by the Gentiles, because he was willing to use the Gentiles who had accepted him to spread that gospel. Well, it turns out that he was also willing to use Jews who had accepted him to spread that gospel. But in general, what we've got is an age of the Gentiles. Paul talks about it in Romans 9, 10, and 11. He makes it very clear that the Jews will receive some kind of indicator that makes them think again about Jesus Christ and to accept Jesus as who he really is, and that they can be saved as well. I don't ascribe to any idea that there are now two gospels, that there's a gospel for the Jews and another gospel for the Gentiles. That makes no sense. Paul himself, who's the apostle to the Gentiles, actually says in Galatians that, you know, when I went back to Jerusalem, I laid out what I was teaching so that people would know what it was, and I wanted to find out if I'd been teaching in vain, and nothing was added to my gospel. Nothing was subtracted from it. It turns out I was teaching the exact same thing that Peter and the Jewish believers were covering in Jerusalem and among the Jewish community. And so there's one gospel, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one Jesus, which is the most important aspect of all. So, yes, although Gentiles in our day and age have more ascendancy, if you want to call it that, or more publicity or more visibility in terms of the gospel, it's only because of accident. I mean, God used the Gentiles who would accept him to spread the gospel. He uses Jews who accept him to spread the gospel. By the end of it, we will know, as Paul said, again, Paul the apostle to the Gentiles, there is neither Jew nor Gentile, no slave or free, no male or female. We are all one in Jesus Christ. So don't make more of this Gentile age than it is. Keep it within the context of the way it was described in the New Testament.
Yeah. Mark, hope that's a help to you. Friends, we have a new product that we want to talk to you about just a little bit before we go to our next call with John in Concord, California. Gateway to Grace is a 6-message series complete with study guide that peels away all of the phony, boring religious stuff that masquerades as Christianity. Gateway to Grace opens the door so that you can experience the reality of God's love and grace. And for a gift of any amount during Independence Month here at Basic Gospel White, we want to send you this excellent resource. It's a resource that's rich in biblical content. All you need to do to obtain your copy is simply go online to basicgospel.net. Again, basicgospel.net, or you can call and speak with our customer service representative, Billy, at 800-727-2828. Again, that number, 1-800-727-2828, for Gateway to Grace. Yours this month for any gift to Basic Gospel. Okay, now to that call with John in Concord, California, who listens on KCBC. Hi, John. Welcome to Basic Gospel.
Hi. How are you?
Great. Good to hear from you.
Thank you.
John, you're on the air. Go ahead with your question.
Okay. There was someone who called a couple of calls back, a girl that said she was having a relationship with a guy that was married or whatever, and you asked her, you know, was she saved? And she said yes and everything. But if she's having a relationship with him or something and God was to come, he probably wouldn't tap her on the shoulder or them and say, okay, it's time to go.
Why not?
Doesn't it say that adultery is a sin? And
yes.
I mean, we've been forgiven for all our sins, but if we intentionally do it, are we not accountable for that?
Yeah, we pay a big price here on this earth. I mean, she's in agony based on what she's going through, the choices that she's made. So is this other guy. But if you are saved, you are saved. No one can take you out of Jesus' hands. That's according to Jesus himself. The issue is, if our salvation, let me say this more clearly, most of us know that we could never be saved by our good behavior, but most of us also think that our bad behavior will cause us to be lost. That's inconsistent. If behavior doesn't save us, behavior doesn't cause us to be lost. The way I like to look at it is from 1 Corinthians 6. Paul is extremely clear. Do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. Pretty long list. And that is what some of you were. But you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. And then later on in the chapter and in previous chapters and all of that, Paul makes it clear that some of the Corinthian believers were in fact still participating in some of these sins. They had not been renewed to the point of dropping these sins. Sin is still sin, but they were washed, they were sanctified, they were justified in the name of Jesus Christ by the Spirit of our God because they had become children of God. They had become identified with Jesus Christ. The Spirit is never going to leave us in that behavioral morass, in that sin. The law can tell us that we are sinning, but the law can never bring us out of sin. Only the Holy Spirit can bring us out of sin. And that's exactly why you have to have security. If you lost your salvation every time you sinned, then Jesus would have to come and die again. Since Jesus isn't going to come and die again, then there's something else that's in operation, and that is the renewing power of the Holy Spirit. As it says in Titus, it's the grace of God that teaches us to say no to ungodliness and to bring us to upright lives in this terrible age in which we live. And that's the Spirit's job alone. I can't do it. The law can't do it. But I can walk by faith in the Spirit that God promised, I am going to be conformed to the image of His Son. That means the Holy Spirit will not leave me in that mess. The Holy Spirit, like I told her, is going to come to me and say, Richard, this is completely inappropriate. It's completely against who you are as my child. I need you to stop. I need you to listen to me and to let me renew your mind. And at that moment, if I'm listening, I fall on my knees and say, thank you, Jesus, for my forgiveness. Because if I wasn't forgiven, I would be going to hell. But I am forgiven, and so I'm not going to hell. I may experience hell on earth because of some of my choices. Some of the saddest people I've ever known were people who had come to Jesus after years of drug abuse. They weren't abusing drugs anymore, but their brains were never going to be the same. They pay a terrible price, but loss of salvation is not one of those prices. The Spirit will not leave us in that mess. He will bring us into holiness and into consistent behavior.
Thanks for your call, John. We appreciate hearing from you. Let's go to Gail now. She's listening in Queens, New York. Hi, Gail. Welcome to Basic Gospel.
Hi, this is Gail calling from Queens, New York. And
yes.
I love your program, and I'm also blind. I wanted to ask you a question about 2 Corinthians 3:6. I got saved listening to Bob George in 1992 of your program, People to People. It's the verse that says, for the letter kills, but the spirit of the word gives life. I was just wondering if you could explain that to the listening audience, because that really helped me years ago.
Yes, that's one of the verses that turned my life around.
Amen.
In the context here, Paul is talking about the difference between the Ten Commandment law, that is the Old Covenant, engraved in letters on stone, and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And as long as you're trying to keep the law as a means of getting saved or staying saved, you've got a veil over your face. You can't see. I was one of those people. You say you're blind. I've got eyes, and I couldn't see a thing because I was under the law. It took the grace of God and the indwelling Holy Spirit to take that veil away so that you and I could see the incredible beauty of Jesus Christ and what He has done for us. He fulfilled that law. Because He fulfilled it and I belong to Him, now I have fulfilled it. Everything possible has been done and given to us. Every spiritual blessing in Christ, everything I need for life and godliness is mine in Him because of what He's done. The law could never do that. Only Jesus Christ can do it, and He gives it to me by the indwelling Holy Spirit. Well, Gail, we're out of time. Thank you for calling. Thank you for calling
You're
back.
Welcome.
I know that call fell off earlier. It was a pleasure talking with you.
Yes, indeed. Hope you'll keep listening and call again if you have other questions. Well, Richard, we're just about out of time. I want to remind our listeners that it's your support that keeps Basic Gospel on the air, bringing liberating truth to the airwaves and online each day. To express our appreciation for your generous gift this month and to commemorate Independence Day in America, we'll send you our new 6-CD series called Gateway to Grace, A New Covenant Journey to Faith and Freedom. If you're tired of phony, boring religion, if you're tired of looking for something different and real and not finding it, if you're tired of going through the motions every day, you can experience freedom, and Gateway to Grace can point you in the right direction. Gateway to Grace, yours this month for any gift to Basic Gospel. To request yours online, simply go to basicgospel.net. Again, that's basicgospel.net. Or call and speak with Billy, our customer service representative, at 800-727-2828. And make your gift and request your copy of Gateway to Grace. That's 1-800-727-2828. Well, now for Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and the entire staff at Basic Gospel, this is Bob Davis inviting you to join us again tomorrow at the same time for another edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.